Good song, that's a marvelous song. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And that's what we've been studying about all week, is that beautiful shore that's waiting for us over there in heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's where we want to be, where Jesus is, at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And this book of Revelation just opens up the pictures and shows us all these wonderful things that are happening, and I'm just so glad and happy that we've had this opportunity this week to study this marvelous book. Great lessons to be revealed to every one of us. And of course, we're thankful for everyone who's come. Many of you have come every night. I'm so happy that we've had this opportunity. And you know, I'm the least of all preachers, and of course my knowledge is very limited. But you know, we have a book to study that reveals everything to us if we just study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workman, the need of not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word is powerful. Most powerful influence there is on this earth. It's what defeated Satan. It's what's defeating the beast and the false prophet right now in the book of Revelation. And we're about to see the bringing down of Babylon. That terrible city there. City of Rome. Roman Empire. We're about to see that taken down. And that's coming up pretty quick here in the latter part of the book of Revelation. Chapter 14. I'm going to read, then I'm going to comment a little, and we'll read some more. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion. That said Mount Zion means there in heaven. Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Now you remember back in the preceding chapter, we talked about the 144,000, and God stopped the movement of things, and he said, wait a minute. And he wanted to make sure that his name was in their foreheads. And then they joined those who have martyrs that had died before. And now we see them all there in heaven with him, enjoying the blessings of that. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Brand new song they could sing. What was it? Well, it was the song of Moses and the Lamb. Song of Moses and the Lamb. And they sung a new song. And before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song, the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These, he said, are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile. They were what God wanted them to be. No, for they are without fault before the throne of God. You remember what Paul said one time? He said, I'm talking to you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So when one obeys the gospel, has the mark of God in his forehead, it is mine. We are as virgins before him. And that's what happened. This 144,000 joined in with all those martyrs that had died before. And here they are now with Jesus on Mount Zion. Throne of God. And I saw another angel. You know, God wrote his name on their foreheads. They joined those earlier martyrs, and then the announcement is going to come right now pretty shortly. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. By the way, anybody thinks the gospel is going to run out? The Bible says the everlasting gospel. What God had to say, and what Jesus had to say, and what the apostles had to say, and what you and I have to study and teach today, it does not run out. Everlasting gospel. That's the gospel that he says he's going to preach. Unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, say with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of the judgment is come. His judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. God made everything. Why people want to say today, well, I don't believe God did that. The Bible said he created the heavens and the earth. Did it all. All was done by the Almighty. And then he said in verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So Babylon, he's talking to Babylon, right? He's talking about Rome. Used the word Babylon, figuratively speaking, and symbolically speaking, because Babylon was the one back there that Nebuchadnezzar, you know, was king in, and they went everywhere and mistreated the Israelites, and even took captive. Daniel was in the bunch when he took them captive, so that was a proper name to use interchangeably with what is happening here. Now, and the third angel, notice what he said, made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's figuratively speaking. That terrible thing that she was doing, that Rome was putting out to the people, and they all drank of the wine of that, and were drunk on it. And we'll study more about that as we go along. The same shall drink, because of that, he said, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the country of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. Wonder what he meant without mixture. Wasn't deluded. Didn't add nothing to it. It was the wrath of God. And when that wrath comes, and God's punishment for those who are disobedient, when that comes, there's not going to be no little dabs of it. It's going to be without mixture. Nothing. It's going to be right on the money. It's going to be everything that he said that it would be, tormented with fire. And he said, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience and the comfort. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's the comfort and peace to me and you, that we keep the commandments of God. And he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which are in the Lord, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest in their labor, and the works do follow them. You'll hear a preacher almost every time he's at a funeral, he will quote that scripture. If the person gone is a member of the church, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, that they may have a right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates into that city that we're talking about here. And so that's where we want to be. That's where we want to go when this life's over. And he said, and I looked, here in this particular verse, though, we find the fall of the persecutor. He's the fall of the persecutor. He's falling down. And it's just about the end. It's about the end of the Roman Empire. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man. I wonder who that'd be. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So the very downfall of the Roman Empire is pictured as a time of reaping. Oh, they're going to reap what they sow. That's an old expression. Oh, you reap what you sow. Be careful what you sow, because you reap what you sow. If you sow terrible things, that's what we'll reap. And so we need to be careful. And that's exactly what was happening to them. The time of reaping had come and had been fulfilled, and now they're going to have to pay for what they had been doing to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all these years. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle of the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, for and he also having a sharp sickle. What if I said sharp sickle? Who wants to use a dull sickle? That sharp sickle is going to get the job done. What's the first thing you did when you used to take the old cradle and go out to cut wheat, cradle wheat? I've seen my daddy many times spend the whole day on days just as hot as this right here with the hand, I had the old hand cradle hung up in my smokehouse, by the way. And I've seen him with that old hand cradle. And he got swiped through there and pulled that down and pile it down. You don't want a cradle with a dull sickle. It don't get the job done. This sickle was sharp. He was a sharp sickle. And he thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped, and another angel came. He also, having a sharp sickle, and another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. It's time to pay the price. It's time that he's going to do what he said he would do. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and he gathered the vine of the earth, and he cast it. He cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now that's symbolic language. We know what a winepress is, and you know, you picture sometimes in the olden countries when they had that, people got in a trough fashion over their feet and so on. But this is the winepress of God. This is God's wrath coming forth. And the winepress was trodden. The winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlong. That's a long distance. That's a lot of blood. You know, Pat Lindsay and others that practice and teach premillennialism, they teach that when that happens over there, the blood's going to run down the valley there of Megiddo, where they think this big battle is going to be fought, and the blood will run for 200 miles, horse bridle deep. Now, that's a lot of blood, isn't it? That's symbolic. That's not a literal thing. When you take Revelation as a literal thing, that's when you run into a wall. No explanation whatsoever. And so that's what was going to happen. And that's what we see happening there in chapter 14. Marvelous, marvelous book. And he said, I saw another sign in heaven. Chapter 15. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And he said, I saw, as it were, I must have skipped me a page or something, because anyway, all of those, I skipped over a passage. Verse chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. That's chapter 15. And what a wonderful thing. They sang a new song. They sang the song of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. They have always looked at God as the great God Almighty. People today don't look at God. They don't reverence him at all. I went to a funeral not too long ago, and a young man, I'm not faulting out with a young man, but the young man, when they asked him to pray, he prayed and he talked to God just like he's talking to somebody down the road. Now, God, I want you to, and God, I don't like to hear that. When you speak of God, you better be in a way of reverence. You know, Jesus said one time, when you pray, say this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But you know, these fellows, they get up out here, and this boy was a member of the church. And he just spoke, you know, used God's name. And it has to be reverence in our mind and heart. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. And he said, and they sang us a new song. And Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. He's the King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Well, Roman Empire, they wouldn't glorify his name. They turned away from what God said. And so these are terrible things. And he said, after I look, or who shall fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple. We're going to see something now in chapter 16. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Now, this is not the end of the world. This is not the end of the world. But this is something that God wanted to reveal that was going to happen. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And in verse 8 he says the last word, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And that completed now chapter 15. Notice that last verse. He said the temple was filled with smoke and no man was able to enter into the temple. You know what I see in that? No more intercession. No more intercession for you. The time has come. Now comes the time that the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon those that have been persecuting the church all these years. So that's what I see in that. That it was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple. No, the time of intercession was over. That's what the temple stood for back there, you know. That was intercession made. High priest went in there once every year to offer a blood sacrifice for the people and for himself. And when God lowers the hammer on the Roman Empire, no more intercession. He had warned them, as we noticed back through the chapter, he had warned them constantly every day what was going to happen. And they would not, they did not repent. And so now, he said that the smoke was there and no more entering into the temple. And I heard a great voice, chapter 16. Marvelous story. Chapter 16, he says, and I heard a great voice out of the temple. You always make sure that we hear a great voice out of the temple. Well, we hear a great voice out of the temple. Every time you open God's book, you're hearing God's voice. God speaks to you and me through his book. He doesn't speak to us in some dark night when we're walking along. One fellow even said one time, he said, he found the Lord sitting astraddle of whiskey barrel. He'd been making whiskey. And the Lord came to him. Well, that's the biggest lie that a man could ever tell. God doesn't do it that way. He speaks through his word. Somebody else said, well, I was plowing, you know. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. And people got all kinds of tales they tell. God speaks. He speaks out of heaven. And the only way God speaks to me and you today is through his word. He does not speak through the doctrines of men. Doctrines of men, that's not God speaking. But when you open this book and you begin to read and study and get that book in your mind, that's God speaking to you. And you can shout, hallelujah, because that's what we're going to meet in judgment one of these days when we stand before him in that judgment day. And I heard a voice, a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, now, those seven servants of God, seven angels, he said, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now I'm telling you, the time closed out on Rome had come. And now those vials were going to be poured out. We studied back there, you know, indignation without measure. Before, you know, he one-third of this was destroyed, or one-third of that. Now it's full measure, undiluted. Now, he said, pour out your vials on the earth. And the first one went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Keep in mind, these vials that he's pouring out of God's wrath is not poured out upon Christians. This is poured out on those who had not his name, who was not following him, was not obeying his doctrine, and they worshipped the image of the beast. So, and then the second vial, or second vial, and he said, and the second vial was poured out, his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. Who'd want to drink blood? Blood of a dead man. Wouldn't want to drink blood at all, but especially those of a dead man. So, and every living soul died in the sea. Now, one third of them, they all died. See, and showing how fast, now that's figurative language. He's not going to pour blood out into the sea and everybody die in the sea. That's figurative language showing his wrath that is going to come on Rome, and it started. And so every living soul died in the sea. That's number two. Now the third one, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Terrible thing. You remember when Paul, when Moses and Aaron went down into Egypt, what'd they do to the Red Sea? Turned to blood. That's a horrible, fearsome thing. And you know, with all of the miracles they performed down there, and chances that they give Pharaoh, he still resisted. Finally did say, well, yeah, after the firstborn died, he said, yeah, take your people and go on. And they hadn't got to the Red Sea when he decided, nope, we're going after them, we're going to get them yet. And of course, we know what happened to Pharaoh and his army. They dried, they rode into the sea, and they were drowned there. And even the Israelites said they saw their bodies upon the shore. So that was going to happen. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and washed and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Now, that's what Rome did, the beast and the false prophet and all of those. They shed the blood of the prophets, and the saints. And now thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now you know what? What goes around comes around. It's an old expression, isn't it? They shed all that blood, did all that suffering, killed all of those people, beheaded them by the thousands. Now the very same punishment is going to come to them. You know, the Bible says, teaches us, if a man lives with the sword, he died with the sword. If you live ungodly, you're going to die ungodly. If we live disobedient to God, we're not going to heaven. We're going to be in hell. Or he said, the unbelieving and the abominable and the idolaters and whoremongers and all liars shall have their part in the lakes that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelation 21:8. So that place is waiting for those. And he said, for they are worthy. They're worthy of that. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. They say, you did exactly what is right. True and righteous. God is not unrighteous in anything. Everything is true about God. And we better respect that. Now then, in verse 8, we find the fourth. We find the fourth one, and that is, poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. That power was given. That you talk about when the wrath of God is poured out upon man, it's like being scorched with a blistering sun, a blistering fire. I don't want to be scorched. I want to be in the place called heaven, pleasant, joy, unspeakable and full of glory. That's where we all want to go. But these weren't going there. And the men were scorched with great heat. Think of that. And blasphemed the name of God. Even though they had all that come upon them, they still turned around and blasphemed the God of heaven. People are doing that today. They still blaspheme the God of heaven. They won't listen to the truth of God. We go and preach and preach and preach and preach the plan of salvation. Nobody believes. No, I don't have to do that. They blaspheme the name of God. And the more the truth is applied, the more wicked they become, and they just simply will not obey what the truth said. And he said, they blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. Here's the sad part. And they repented not to give him glory. With all of that, they repented not. We read in a chapter back a little ways, and they repented not of their sorcery. They didn't repent. You know, repentance is absolutely that which clears up your life. Without repentance, there's nothing. If a man doesn't repent, we can't be saved. Jesus said, I'll tell you nay, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Repentance is an absolute necessity, and it just clears your life. That's what it does. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. And then the fifth angel sounded, verse 10. Fifth angel sounded, and we'll see other things beginning to happen. Did you know I've kept notes on all this? And well, you've got to, because I can't remember all this myself. But, and so the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast. Now, you see, God wasn't going to leave nothing out. Not only was he poured it out upon the seed and upon the men, but he poured his wrath out upon the seat of the beast. Where was the seat at? Well, Rome. Rome was the seat. So he poured his vial out upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Gnawed their tongue. Now I'm telling you, man, when people are in pain and everything, and bite their tongue till it gnawed it off, they were in bad torture, wasn't they? But you know what? His kingdom was full of darkness. What happens when a kingdom and the seat where the king is, and the king is taken away and destroyed, what happens to the kingdom? Darkness. You know, the Bible said righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So when this angel poured his vial out upon the seat of the king, that ended. And darkness was everywhere, and they blasphemed God because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. That's the saddest part of all these readings here. So, you know, if our authority, if there's a God, I mean, if there's a king that is operating a kingdom, and all of a sudden something happens to him and he's destroyed, well, the kingdom is thrown into chaos. That's exactly why that he poured that out upon the seat of the beast. Seat of the beast. And then the sixth angel sounded, verse 12. The sixth angel sounded, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. I'm going to read the next verse and then explain if I can. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, figurative speaking, wasn't no frog. That wasn't a bullfrog that jumped out of his mouth. After all, we had a beast, and we had a beast, and we had a dragon, and a false prophet. That's symbolic language. And so he poured his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. You know, that's what they was wanting. And those frogs that went out of their mouth, I look at that as messengers from these three. They wanted help from somebody else. They wanted somebody else to come in and help overcome God and his promise and power that he was exercising, and Jesus and the church. They wanted that destroyed. So they sent messages, and they wanted that group to come in and help them out. Now, some people say that was that 200 million men. That's what they're teaching right now on TV, that 200 million Chinese are going to come out and cross the river Euphrates, and they'll cross it because God's going to dry the water up. They're going to come across there, and then there's going to be a great big battle in the Valley of Megiddo, and they call that Battle of Armageddon. Well, there's just one thing wrong with that, and I want to get on down before I comment. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of the devil, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now here's what premillennials teach. There's going to be a great battle right before Jesus comes back. Yeah. Now we know that Jesus is coming, don't we? You know, the Bible says he's coming. So they said right before he comes back, there's going to be a big battle. And they call that the Battle of Armageddon, meaning there in the Valley of Megiddo. You know, from history we find that great battles were fought in there in that particular place. Gideon defeated with his army the Midianites whenever he done battle, if you read about the Old Testament, and many other places. But that is still figurative language, because we know that they had no frogs come out of their mouth. And he said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. All right. There's one thing wrong with the theory that man is teaching today, that there's going to be a big battle. They call it the Battle of Armageddon. I hear them all the time on TV. And they're, Battle of Armageddon, they're going, all the blood's going to run down that valley horse by the day. That's a lot of blood. But they don't even think about it being figurative. But now here's the answer to that. And it's very simple. Not complicated at all. When Jesus, we ought to ask ourselves the question, when somebody teaches something like that, ask, what does the Bible say about Jesus coming again? What's it going to be like when he comes? Is it going to be fighting a battle over there in Armageddon?
No.
Peter tells us what it is. He said, the day of the Lord, now here it comes, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, when Jesus comes again, is it going to be a big battle? No. You won't even realize it, boom, till it happens. You come as a thief in the night. And why they want to teach these things, I don't know, but I hear them all the time on TV, and it just, it really turns my stomach. But that's what's going to happen. And so, in the sixth angel, and all of these things that happen, for he said, they are the spirits of devil working miracles. Behold, I come as a thief in the night, and keep his garments. So if he comes as a thief in the night, what does that mean? Comes unannounced. Ain't going to be no come about and say, hey, here comes God. Let me tell you something. Jesus plainly points out in his personal ministry that no one will have to say, well, he's here, or no, he's over there in Matthew 24. Or he's down here. You know, every eye shall see him, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God. Everyone, even the one that pierced his side, will see him, and we will all see him at once. There won't be no installments at all. But the religious world teaches that he's going to come and fight that big battle, right? And then set up his kingdom over in Jerusalem. But the Bible, of course, doesn't teach that. Now, that was the sixth angel. And he gathered them together in a place called the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Big battle. That is spiritual, symbolic, figurative, emblematic language. That's why people don't understand it today. They don't want to think about that. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of God, or temple of heaven, from the throne saying, it is done. Oh boy, that would have been now that was the end of it. He said, it's done. It's done. It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was great earthquakes, because it was not since men were up on the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. What is that great city? Rome. Roman Empire. It was divided into three parts. History will tell you that. Different places around over the Middle East, they were all a part of that. When this terrible calamity that God sent upon them came, that was the end of the Roman Empire. It fell in AD 476. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and for the plague thereof was exceeding great. I did read what that talent was, but great 600 pounds or something like that. It was great weight. Imagine that. Wasn't no like a little rock. It was a great weight. That's figurative speaking as well. And God decides to punish that. He doesn't do it in little installments. And so, without mixture, it was pulled out. So, we've covered now the 16th chapter. I know we've done mighty swift, but I'm going to try to get there. I'm going to try to get another. 17th chapter. 17th chapter. Lots of good things taught in this chapter. He said, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying to me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, we're going to find out who that is. The Bible tells us. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. We wasn't talking about a physical relation. He's talking about that with partaking of their delicacies there in Rome and all of that. We'll find out later. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What she was selling, and what, you know, they came from all over the world and came there, and that's why that beast that came up out of the sea was called the beast of the, that which was a part of Rome, the part that trading and all of that with various nations. And so the kings of the earth have committed fornication. He wasn't talking about a physical relation. He was talking about partaking of their delicacies and all of the things that they had. And you know, we'll find later on in this how horrible it was to them when all of a sudden they looked and Babylon was gone and fallen, and men just cried and wept over the fact, because now there was no more commerce, no more trading, no more being there. Everything seemed to be gone, and they were carried on terrible about that. And he said, so he carried me away in the spirit unto the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. That scarlet beast, seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Now I'm telling you, if that doesn't show a horrible looking scene back there, I don't know what would. The 18th chapter and verse 12 says that the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and all of those things. The fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, he said. So that she was commercial woman, and that's what we're looking at. But now we're going to identify the woman. And she was decked with all this marvelous, beautiful dresses and everything. And upon her forehead was a name written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I've heard some people say in time past that was the Catholic Church. Catholic Church wasn't started at this time. That wasn't the Catholic Church. And so we'll read a little bit later what that is. He said in verse 18, by the way, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's the 18th verse of this chapter. It tells you who that woman is. And he said, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman, and of that beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. You remember reading about that? Back to chapter 13, verse 1. He said, I stood upon the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horn, ten crowns, and upon his horn, the name of blasphemy. What was that? That beast, Rome, commercial Rome. And this woman is sitting upon that beast. We'll read on a little further. And wherefore did thou mark? The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, that's something we need to talk about, and that's the most difficult part to me to even try to explain. I see it myself, but it's hard for me to get it across. Those ten horns were ten kings. Ten kings of who? Ten kings of Rome. They were the ten kings that rose up there and ruled there in Rome. Now over in Daniel 7, if you want to mark that and read it later, by the 10 horns or 10 kings that shall arise. Augustus, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, Nero, Galba, Otho, Vitellus, Vespasian, Titus, and Domitian. Now, those are the kings. He names them, and Daniel gives, he saw three kings uprooted. John didn't talk about the three that's uprooted, just talked about the eight instead of 11. But back in Daniel, he talked about the three that was uprooted, and then that left eight. So it was 11, and then the three uprooted. And so John didn't mention the three, but he mentioned the eight. So in his writings, it was Augustus, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, Nero, Caesar, Vespasian, Titus, and Domitian. Now then, Nero was the one, the king that was. He's the head that was. That one that had his head was wounded to death. Remember we read back to our chapter 2? Head was wounded to death. And so he's the, how, what does it mean when it says he's the one, he's the one that was? Well, at one time he had this whole system of ill treatment and horrible things happening to the children of God. And he was the one that implemented first the terrible treatment, beheading and fastening their bodies up on poles at night up and down the road, set them afar, pouring oil on, set them afar, so that he could enjoy racing with his buddies up and down the road in his chariot. Terrible thing. Now he is the one, he's the head that was, the beast that was. He's the beast that was. And then he says, and he's not. Meaning he's no longer there. Well, he died. He died. And later on then, after Caesar passed away, while Vespasian, he ruled, and then Titus, and then come Domitian. I mentioned that the other night. You read about Titus, you can find all this in history books, really. But you read about Titus, you read about Vespasian, and then come Domitian. Now Nero died, and that treatment of the Christians kind of fell down a little bit, and then naturally they mistreated him. But then when Domitian came along, he renewed the whole thing and started all over again. He was called the Rim of Bloody Nero. Nero was called Bloody Nero. And then Domitian came along, renewed that. So there's the beast that was, now he's not. Now he is in the spirit of Domitian. So that's all I could figure out with that. So, and he said, here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, we've already decided and found out the woman is that great city. Well, what city, think about it, what city sits on seven mountains? Or seven hills. Read your history book. Rome sits on seven hills. And that's what he's telling them here. Rome sits on seven hills. And there are seven kings. And here's what he's talking about. I was talking about the men. There are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is. And the other's not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was and is not, even he's the eighth. That's Domitian. And of the seven, and goeth into perdition. So he's got one place waiting for him too. And so the destruction of Nero. Now the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast for a short time. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So anytime Revelation talks about waters, you know the sound of many waters, that's people. People, nations, and tongues. And he says, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdoms unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And that woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's a good explanation. Plainly showing who that woman is. Now everybody talks about what a horrible looking thing, and I guess it was. But that woman was Rome that sits and that woman, now here's something to learn about that woman. She had those that had the name of Babylon the Great, mother of harlots. And the angel said, I'll show you the mystery of them, and he did. And so that woman is that great city and reigns over the king. Only, now here's what you can assume, or come to the conclusion, not assume, come to the conclusion after reading that chapter. Only the city of Rome led the kings. Only the city of Rome rode on the back of the empire. Only the city of Rome was richly in everything. Only the city of Rome in that day could have been compared to Babylon. No other city could have been compared to Babylon, yet she was. Only the city of Rome could have been called that great city that rules over the kings, because she sits on seven hills, and that's Rome. You know, I tell you what, I hate to throw off on any nation, but I'm glad that I wasn't born in Rome, even modern Rome. I don't want to be under the influence of Catholicism. I'm glad I was born in the United States of America, where we're free. We're not bound, we're free, in a way. Of course, a lot of our freedom is going to be taken away if we're not awfully careful. If we're not very careful of what we're doing. Now, I'm going to... Surely it ain't that great to talk already, is it? I guess it is. But a whole lot to be said. I'm going to read real fast chapter 18, and then we'll rest till next Monday night. If nobody objects to that, because there's not a whole lot to be seen in here. But I mean, there's a whole lot to be seen, but it's not complicated. The Bible says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with his strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the home of every evil spirit, and the cage of every unclean, hateful bird. Good news. Great news to the people. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. That's why they loved Rome so well, because she was a master in trade. And so all the nations of the earth came and pulled into the harbor and traded with her. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plague. God telling me you that about everything that is ungodly. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her double, according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled up double. So whatever she poured on you, double to her. How much also hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her for the serious, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. Yes, she did, dude. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off even. For the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour judgment is come. Oh, how they cried over that. Horrible thing. Just exactly what should have happened. And the merchants of, you know, a lot of cities today, I'd be afraid to live in a lot of cities today that have incorporated all kinds of evil. God can destroy anything he wants. I'm not speaking for him. He can do what he says. And standing afar off, and the merchants of the earth. Then he says the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple, silk, scarlet, all fine wood, all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and all these things, frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, beasts and sheep. Money everywhere. Brought it in there in ship clothes. She was a prosperous place, commercial Rome. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and godly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and all of these things that we had in 1 hour, so great riches had come to naught. Every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea and stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? You can name a few today, couldn't you? Probably might even be able to name a few in the United States, but I wouldn't do that. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she's made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Remember what he said back in chapter, he can bring vengeance. Now, he said it again, but I'm going to finish this chapter. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsmen, whatever craft shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of millstone shall be heard no more, no more grinding meal in this place. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorcerers were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets. Here's the part that condemned her. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, isn't that a horrible thing to think about? That great city, that terrible city, that Rome, you know what you find in Rome right now? Let's talk this for a second, and then I'll hush. You know what's found in Rome right now? Roman Catholicism is in power, controls, I'd say, the whole region of Rome, Italy. And I wouldn't want to be there. Oh, people say, I like to go and visit. I like to see the Pope. I've seen all of him I want to see. I have no desire to be there. I have no desire to be in that kind of a city. Now, I'm not saying that Rome is like this one. She's not persecuting people now. But back there, we've done read 18 chapters of all the horror that Rome brought upon our brothers and sisters there in those churches in the Middle East. As I said before, I'm so glad that we all had a chance to study and read some of these things and learn some things. And I hope that we can continue on studying every part of God's Word, not just the book of Revelation. Everything needs to get right in there and dig out everything that we can. So on Monday, I think we can probably finish up. We're getting mighty close anyway. So anyway, thankful that you've come. There might be somebody here tonight who's subject to the gospel. And if so, I only have one plan in mind, and that's God's. And he said, by faith, repent of every sin. By faith, confess Jesus before men. And by faith, be baptized for the remission of sins, and you rise to walk in newness of life. You got the mark of God in your forehead then. That's what that means. That mark wasn't the mark of their forehead, it was in their mind. In their mind. The kingdom is within you, in your mind and heart. Live it out as best we can. Be faithful and steadfast, and heaven will be our home. If you're suffering anyway, we invite you to come while we stand.